Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we come here today with grateful hearts and humble hearts. Please meet us where we are, Lord, in the events of the past week, and would you please let us hear your voice and let us grow in you, or for someone here maybe, turn to you for the first time. And we pray it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Today we're finishing up our short sermon series on Paul's letter to the Colossians, which is only four chapters long. It's a really crisp read, and it's fantastic. It's so deep and beautiful. Week one, 2 weeks ago, grounded us in Christ and told us, stay grounded and stay growing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Week two, last week, said, stay free in your relationship with Christ, and don't be tempted to take on any hollow and deceptive philosophy that wants to muddy up the water of the gospel, because nothing can improve on the gospel. Today we finish with Paul's call for the church to stay holy. So first week was stay grounded and growing. Week two is stay free. And today is stay holy. Now when you hear the word holiness, you may think, oh my gosh, that is a lot to deal with. We'll come to that in just a second. But when you read Paul's letters, when you take a bit of time reading his letters, you'll notice he has a technique. He starts with the teaching. He tells us who God is. And then he moves to the application, who we are in a relationship with him and how we should live accordingly. Sometimes what we do is we want to jump to the application first because we're people who want to do things. You know, what can I do? What should I do? But we need to be grounded in the teaching first, because when we skip over it, we miss the reason behind the doing. And we need to know why we're doing this. What we do is only ever rooted in what Jesus has already done. Right? So what you do, that depends on what Jesus has done for you. There's a perfect example here in Colossians 3:1, which says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's a great example. Paul says, you have been raised with Christ. You are born again. You're free now in Christ. Now set your hearts on things above, which really is a way of saying work on your spiritual growth and your maturity, and stay focused at all times on who you already are in Christ. You see, you can't improve on who you are in Christ. You can never improve on that. You can improve in your obedience and your faithfulness in serving him, but you can never improve on how he sees you, because you're forgiven in Christ and you're a new creation now. And we get into trouble when we think that the good things we do actually build our credit with God. You know, we're kind of going up the ladder like you would in a regular job. You know, you want to advance in the ranks, climb the ladder, maybe eventually get the corner office. Well, there is no corner office with God. Or think of it another way, the corner office doesn't matter. That's not the point at all. So let's dive into the passage today, and the theme here is staying holy. Now, right away you think, holiness, wow, this is a lot to take in today. What it means is being set apart for God. Set apart. Not perfect. Who here is perfect? Anyone, you want to put your hand up? No one's ever put their hand up when I've asked the question. I'm glad about that because, wow, I'm not sure what I'd do. But when you're holy, it means you're set apart for Christ. And you're growing in Christ. Over time, because you're part of the body of Christ, God's family, you should be taking on more of the family resemblance. We should, and we will, if we lean in and work at our growth with the right approach, of course. So how do we stay holy? How do we maintain a strong and growing faith over the course of our life when we're challenged by real things that happen to us? Things that may knock the wind out of our sails. Are you catching all these naval references here? I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best to speak to the crowd. There are two things to do. Two things to do to stay holy. And please hear when I say that staying holy isn't staying perfect. No, not at all. It's staying set apart for God. God will work in you to bring you to maturity. You're part of it too. So here's how you do it. First of all, two things. First thing is you take off the past. You take off the past. Taking off the past doesn't mean that you're going to forget everything that's ever happened to you that's negative. It doesn't mean that you're going to leave every personal struggle behind or every temptation. It doesn't mean that you're never going to be spiritually tempted or weak, because you will. Look at the apostles in the Gospels. Are they perfect? Far from it. But they're holy, set apart for Christ and his work. Taking off the past doesn't mean now that you can join us on a Sunday morning and sit back while the rest of us say the confession, and you say, well, I really don't need to say that. This doesn't apply to me today. Not at all. Taking off the past isn't about finding a new spiritual technique. It's not buying the latest Christian self-help book and reaching some level that the rest of us will never reach. It's not about finding the better you. In the passage, Paul says, and it's strong language because it's serious business, he says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Put it to death. What does he mean? He means that you should throw off the things that get in the way of your spiritual growth. And there's a long list. I won't read through them. They were read by David, starting in verse 5. And it's a very clear list, and there's some pretty dark things. Those are the things we should get rid of. Unholy things that want to come in and drag us away from Christ. You get rid of those things because, honestly, they don't belong in our lives anymore. But they still cling to us. They still cling to us. And what Paul means here is he's really saying, look, you have two ways to live in this world. Two ways. Either you're dead in sin or you're dead to sin. See the difference there? Either you're dead in sin or you're dead to sin. And if we're living by faith in Jesus, even a tiny bit of faith in Jesus, then we're dead to sin. That's the best place to be. Then we need to reject anything that wants to come in and mess up our lives. And that is the lifelong work that keeps you holy. It's the lifelong spiritual work that grows you into a mature Christian. You'll see the list there, starting in verse 5. And all those things, I'm not going to go through the list, but Paul says they all stem from something called idolatry. And an idol is simply something you make, or you take on and adopt, and you put it in place of your relationship with God. Maybe you put it up next to God, or just a little bit lower, but eventually it crowds God out of your life. And the obvious idols in our world today are sex, money, and power. Those are three obvious ones right there. There are others because we humans are very creative when it comes to making idols. We're very creative. We're very good at this. One writer from the 16th century Reformation said that our hearts are factories of idols. We keep producing things that get in the way of our relationship with God. Paul says, put those things to death. Recognize them for what they are. And as soon as you recognize them, get rid of them. So Paul says, how do you protect yourselves from this, from idolatry? He says, well, remember who you are in Christ. Remember who you are in Christ at this very moment. Remember what Paul says here. He said, you've been raised with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. And that agrees with something he says back in chapter 2. He says, you have been brought to fullness in Christ. So as you take off the past and all the things that belong to fallen human nature, remember that you're already full to the brim with the presence of Jesus Christ. There's actually no more fullness you could receive. When you really think about that, and when you keep that in front of yourself every day, and whenever you're tempted, I'm already full of Christ. I already have the fullness of the Holy Spirit living in me. I can't get more full. Doesn't that change then how you see yourself and the temptation you're facing? See, it gives you strength to say, well, of course I don't want those things. I want this fullness. And I want to live here in this fullness. So you stay holy and you develop spiritually then over the course of your life when you respond to this knowledge. And you then apply yourself to living a life that is giving thanks to God. And that really is the purpose of our lives. It's to glorify God. by giving thanks for what he's done for us. And everything we do now in the way of good works is meant to be an expression of the gift he's given. But your growth needs care and attention. It really does. It doesn't just happen by accident. If you neglect it or you get lazy, as most of us do at some point, then you simply won't grow as you might. And why wouldn't you want to grow closer to Jesus? Think of it in relational terms, because it is a relationship. If you're in a relationship with someone you love, and you know they love you and you love them, don't you want to get closer? Or do you get to a certain point where you think, you know, I'm good, that's okay. You love me enough, I love you enough, that's okay, let's just leave it there. That's not what you do. You lean in. Couples who've been married for decades know this. It becomes deeper, it becomes richer, and it becomes an even better treasure. Why would any of us want to settle for less? Thankfully, God supplies you with the strength and the guidance. He sends the Holy Spirit as your guide, your teacher, your counselor, your friend, and he leads you. But in order to get started, he says, okay, take off the past, leave it where it belongs, and start following, and keep following. So take off the past. Now the second thing here, and the final thing, is to then put on Christ. And this is great imagery. And it's imagery that you actually see this morning. When Connor came in, he had his regular street clothes on. He wasn't wearing a naval uniform. I was so disappointed, but anyway, that's okay. We'll leave that for another day. None of your friends are either, anyway. But this is very clear imagery here. Connor came in with his street clothes, and then he went into a room by himself. He took off those clothes, and he put on something new, which is a robe. And that's how people in the early church were baptized. They came in a white robe, which symbolizes purity. That's the imagery. You see, you take off the old clothes, and the Lord gives you something new. And this is Christ. To help us understand it here, Paul starts with teaching before he applies the teaching. Again, he starts with who you are in Christ. He says in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, see, that's who you are, that he says, clothe yourselves with what? With compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And again, he wants to ground you in who you are in Christ. You're chosen, holy, and dearly loved. And now from the strong foundation, you're able to clothe yourselves with the qualities you see in Jesus. You're able to put on the new clothes because God gives them to you. When he brings you to new birth, he gives you the new clothes. But then, through the power of the Spirit, he makes you willing and he gives you a desire to keep on putting the clothes on and to keep wearing them. See, that's the difference. It's very sad as a minister when you baptize someone and you never see them again. It's not because they've moved away. They're still in town, but they disappear off the map. And you don't know what they're doing. That would be like coming and putting on your new clothes, and as soon as you leave, you take them off and you hang them at the back of the closet. You know, like the old tuxedo from the wedding. And you never put it on again. And then if you try to put it on again, my gosh, this thing doesn't fit me. Because you haven't been wearing it. And you're not comfortable in these new clothes. Because they're old clothes to you. Well, the imagery here is to say, keep the new clothes on. Keep them on. Intentionally keep them on. At the risk of sounding a bit too new age, Paul is really saying, you are, now be. Now let me explain that. What he's saying is, you are in Christ. Now, be in Christ. And keep being in him. Rooted in Christ. Because if you don't do this, if you don't consciously put on the new clothes, you simply won't be confident or knowledgeable about your new identity. And we all know that there are many idols floating around that want to claim our allegiance and our attention. And they want to say, well, you can find your new identity by doing this. But here's Scripture saying, no, you receive a new identity from God, and now hang on to it. Don't hide it away in the back of the closet. Wear it every day. Keep it on, and you'll find that it fits really well. So the message here really of Paul's teaching is that God gives the gift of salvation, and he then works in you to grow the gift over the course of time. So you're not alone. You're not alone. You do need to dig in and grow, but God is always there working in you. Paul says it really well in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 2. He says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Thankfully, you can know that your holiness doesn't depend on your strength. Your holiness doesn't depend on you staying positive or staying successful or staying faithful. Your holiness is rooted, and your holiness begins, and it's a reality because of the holiness of Jesus Christ. See, our holiness depends on Christ. And that gift of new life in Christ has been given to you by grace through faith. And because of the gift given to you, the Spirit is working right now to fulfill his good purpose for your life. So the pressure's off. It really is. You've been given a gift. Now receive it like you receive a gift on your birthday or Christmas morning with joy. And you think, well, I can hardly wait to start using this gift. And now you can move ahead and work to stay holy because you know that the Spirit is working in you and with you. And that knowledge hopefully will give you the confidence and the assurance to know that your growth is never over, and it's a journey to be enjoyed. It's not a slavish duty. It's not something you have to be worried about. It's actually something you can enjoy and be confident in. And know that you'll recover even when you stumble. Listen again to the words Paul uses in Colossians 3. And listen to how he describes God's work in your heart. And if you have faith in Jesus, know that this is a reality right now. This language is really relational and personal. Listen to this. Paul says, "Clothe yourselves. Put on love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly." That's invitational language, isn't it? It's relational, invitational language. This is God speaking through the word of the Bible to you personally. And he's inviting you today and tomorrow and the next day to continue your growth by putting on the clothes he gives you. He's inviting you to put on the qualities of love, godly love. He's inviting you to accept his gift and let the peace of Christ change your heart and your mind. Now, if you're here today as someone who's not too sure about this, maybe you're skeptical, maybe an agnostic. I'm really glad you're here to hear this message and the word of Scripture. If you're in that place, then think of this as an invitation, as another step along the road to considering Christ. This is an invitation given by God. And he's saying here, consider joining my family. Consider Connor, who felt the call and decided to follow Jesus. And he worked. He worked hard. We met many times. And it was enjoyable, I think. At least I enjoyed it. It was great. Great to talk and discuss faith. And now today we stand with him. And we thank God that in his grace, he's called Connor to take off the old clothes and put on Christ. But by grace and the power of the Spirit working in him, Connor will stay holy. Just as I finish here, notice in this passage, it's not just about our own personal spiritual growth. It is about that. But Paul says we're actually meant to help each other stay holy. This is not a solo act. Church is a group effort. It's not a private faith. It's personal, but it's actually not private. It's meant to be lived as part of a family, as a body. And as you come here today, and if you consider coming back, I want you to know that we're not a perfect family. But we are a family who's very serious and intentional about working to stay holy. And we would love you to join us on the journey. Well, let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for your word, for the knowledge of who we are in Christ. We thank you for your word, which reveals Jesus in fullness. And we thank you that this precious gift has been given to us. We pray it all in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.